So tonight's shir is, like yesterday's that you're referring to, is Lezecher Nishmas, Reb Chaim ben Avraham Arbisfeld, Zecharno Livracha, whose yahrzeit, found out later, or the exact date, was on Shabbos, first yahrzeit. And again, it's a little bit surreal for us to think that way because Rabbi Chai Arbisfeld, such a living presence, I think, for all of us. We all see his demus diukno, his joyous countenance and his special personality in front of us. So it's really hard to believe that a year has passed. But I think that every year before Pesach, we should really dedicate the shir L'Iluy Nishmaso. He founded the shir and was the Ruach HaChaim, even after finding it, to find the right venue for it. We moved a few times from Kew Garden Hills originally to Kew Gardens and then to Jamaica Estates. And he basically shepherded along the shir and always organized it, and certainly also helped in the, Dinei Mamonos part of it, in an outsized way. I don't know the details, but I know that that was the case. And so just out of Hakaras HaTov alone, that would be appropriate. But of course, it's much more than that. The impulse to create another shir in Queens, reflects a certain passion for Limud HaTorah and for Harbotas HaTorah. There already were shiurim in Queens, and in particular, the Tuesday night shiur, which Chai Arbisfeld is very involved with all the years, and many of the people who join our shiur also go to that shiur. That's a really wonderful thing. And I remember when he first had the idea, and he broached it to me. He said to me, different styles, and this way there'll be something Monday night and Tuesday night. And again, there's a certain, again, sensitivity and passion, for learning and for Torah and for diverse sidrachim in Torah, that is reflected there. And in general, while we all know his dedication to the yeshiva and to religious Zionism, it's supposed to, one's attention always begins at home and with his family, of course, his wife and his family, children and grandchildren, but then with the community of Kew Gardens, and then branching out to the community of Queens. And this was, of course, a great example of that. So I think that it's very appropriate that we remember this, not only out of a sense of thank you, but out of a sense of inspiration, Midei Shana B'Shana. And he also was very persuasively insistent that every year before the Chagim that we have a shir on Inyan HaYantif. Sometimes it brings in people who can't participate, on a weekly basis. So again, I think it's very appropriate. I particularly like that this year, it also dovetails with our weekly shir, because the main point is that the shir is a weekly shir and that it goes through a masechta in a consistent way. So the fact that we're learning Psachim and that the shir dedicated to Pesach is going to be the memorial shir, so in a way we can continue our limud. We'll do it as a standalone. We usually have the luxury of continuing from a previous week and then anticipating for the next week. We'll assume that this week it's a different kind of a shir, that it should stand on its own. But I thought that it was particularly a nice turn of events, you could call it hashgacha, that we can commemorate, the yahrzeit with a pre-Yom Tov shir, which at the same time is just a continuation of the Monday night shir. So I think we get everything packed in one. Okay, so actually our next topic was going to be the theme of Bitul Chametz. And that's what I want to speak about tonight. So let me introduce it in a slightly different way. Let's note first that Bitul Chametz is a very remarkable or unusual institution. Like many other things, because of its ubiquity, namely we observe Pesach every year, Baruch Hashem, and we prepare for it. And we're all familiar with the Nusach of Bitul Chametz, the concept of Bitul Chametz, the text of the Bitul Chametz. We say it twice, which is also very curious, at the end of Bedikas Chametz and at the end of Bir Chametz, the next day. So we're all familiar with what it is, but it's a very remarkable, almost an astonishing institution, at least according to almost all Rishonim, with the exception of Baalei Tosfos, as I'll explain. And I think it's an institution which accentuates the fundamental theme of Chag HaMatzos, and which therefore makes it also, although it's not typically perceived this way, a source for hashkafa and for an approach to the Yontif as well. So let's begin by noting very briefly some of the unique characteristics of Bitul. And then what I'd like to do is discuss some of the main shitos. Again, the shir is limited in time, so we'll try to get to some of the basic ones. And then to try to understand as we're going along, but especially in the end, why this is such a pivotal, seminal topic in Chag HaMatzos. The Gemara says in Psachim, those of you who happen to have the regular Mar Makomos, that's why I didn't give out. And if there are others, maybe we can share with them, or we always share with them, right? Do we? On the screen, you can do it, or whatever it is.
Well, I'm not a co-host this time.
Can I make you a co-host?
Well, you can. We can put it up that way, maybe.
Okay, if whoever wants. I think the other people probably
all right. Okay.
Have, but let me make you a co-host. We always try to make Benji co-host as well, and certainly tonight.
Benji could do it. You don't need me.
Well, I don't know if he has your technical know-how. Maybe he does. Okay. So the Gemara, of course, on Daf Dalet Amud Beis, towards the top, explains that whenever there is bitul, that bedikas chametz is drabanan. Right? The Gemara is trying to explain why it is that if bystanders, this is a topic that we've been discussing, if bystanders report that a bedika took place in a context in which that is not certain, meaning there's some doubt whether bedika did or didn't take place, we'll even believe a katan because hemnu rabbanan bedrabanan. And the Gemara explains here towards the top, about a third of the way down, the Gemara says, mau desema lo hemninu rabbanan. You might have thought that we don't believe people when they, or at least certain class of people, when they attest to bedikas chametz. So the Gemara says, that's what we would have thought. Kamash malon, kiven de bedikas chametz midrabanan hu, de midaraisa bebitul bi'alma sagile, hemnu rabbanan midrabanan. The Gemara says that when there is bitul, certainly, bedikas chametz is only a rabbinic requirement. Bitul, in other words, eclipses bedika. Similarly, the Gemara on Daf Vav Amud Beis tells us, this is about two-thirds of the way down, Om Rav Yudah Marav, Habodek Tzorech Sheyivatel. Even if you do bedika, you still have to do bitul. Shema Yimatze, Gzeira Shema Yimatze, I'm skipping, Guska Yafa Vedaite Ilave. And basically what the Gemara is saying is two things. Dalet Amud Beis, the Gemara is telling us that when you have bitul, you don't need bedika min haTorah. And on Vav Amud Beis, the Gemara is telling us that even if you have bedika, you still need bitul. So Bittul is self-sufficient, and Bittul is always necessary. That's very curious. As I said, it's interesting that we, our minhag mostly, is to do Bittul twice. We do Bedika in the context of the Bedika, and we do Bittul in the context of the Biur. Almost as if, you know, Kalamarbe Hareza Meshubach. What is it about Bittul that, you know, justifies not only, we'll get to that in a moment, its inner workings, but also the fact that we look to project it and to accentuate it. The truth is, if you take a step back and you think about it, Bittul is very mysterious. And that is reflected by the very wide range, some of which we'll discuss, of views in terms of what it is. It's mysterious. It's central. Apparently, it is symbolically significant as well. And yet, we're not exactly sure what it is. That's already a phenomenon. But even more than that, Bittul, according to the Gemara, we'll get to it later on, is bepeh. It's an articulation. It's a formulation. It's verbalized. It could even be that Bittul, that's what our practice is, but the Gemara speaks about being mevatel belev. So it could just be a matter of makshava. Either way, why is thinking about, in some cases, you know, articulating the formula of Bittul, what does that really accomplish in the end of the day? Chametz and the Isra of Bal Yirua, the presence of Chametz, is an extremely severe infraction. And otherwise it wouldn't be Lo Yirua V'lo Yimatzei. Tosfos on Daf Beis Amud Aleph already points this out. Tosfos is trying to explain, why is Chametz so chamor? Why is it so severe? After all, you need a bedika. You have the beer needs shreifa. If you eat it, it's bekares. What? Why is it so severe? One of the things that highlights just how chamor it really is the fact that there's a prohibition of bayi rabbi imatze. You're not allowed to even have the chametz in your possession. Not only that, it's a double iser. Bal yira'e, bal yimatze. According to the Rambam, we count two lavin. It's a little bit of a chiddush. The Rambam in Shoresh Tests, in the ninth principle of Sefer Mitzvos, says that typically we do not count a lav twice, just because the Torah mentions it twice or three times, unless there's something clearly substantively distinctive about it. The Ramban possibly disagrees, at least about Malkus disagrees. But for example, the Rambam, when it comes to Tmura, Torah says, Lo yachlifenu velo yamir. The Rambam counts one. But when it comes to Bayi Rabbi Imatze, the Rambam counts two. And he's very machmir in Bayi Rabbi Imatze. When we get to the Rambam towards the end, so if there's time, I hope to elaborate this a little more. The pattern in Shitas HaRambam that establishes that Bal Yirah is very extreme is clear. So what is it that neutralizes Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh? Bittul. So how does Bittul work that it is able, right, to neutralize this double Iser? This double Iser which reflects that you're not allowed to eat or even benefit from chametz, it's not allowed to be in your possession. So chametz can be physically in your possession. And if you pronounce the magical, I don't mean it really, but I mean, I do, but I don't. The magical bittul, this formula, poof, right? No more bal yira, no more bal yimatze. And it could even be belev. Mevatlo belibo vedaya. What is it? Hechan matzinu in the Torah that you neutralized other Isurim, right, by thinking of a formula or even articulating a formula. It's very rare. There is something in the world of Avodah Zarah, right, of Bittul, like you can be Mevatel in Avodah Zarah. However, and that might be the key, by the way, we'll get back to that. The Ramban actually makes the comparison to Bittul Avodah Zarah. But before we get to that, on the surface, Bittul Avodah Zarah is a very different kind of phenomenon. Why? Because the object of Avodah Zarah objectively is not what makes it Avodah Zarah, right? I don't know, there's an idol, an animal, whatever it is that you turned into Avodah Zarah, right? That object or essence is not Avodah Zarah unless you make it Avodah Zarah, meaning it's your attitude towards it that turns it into Avodah Zarah. Because you're worshiping it, you're relating to it as a deity. And therefore, there can be Bittul Avodah Zarah, meaning you withdraw that perspective, and what's left? The object. The object was never the problem. So the idea that Avodah Zarah, you know, is contingent upon your mental state, that it's attitudinal, is a somewhat reasonable idea, right? Both. That's how you create Avodah Zarah, and that's how possibly you can neutralize Avodah Zarah. However, if we're talking about Chametz v'Pesach on the surface, we'll get back to this. I'm not rejecting it completely, but it isn't the perfect analogy. Chametz is Chameshes Minei Dagon that underwent a process, right, in which it became Chametz. It's an objective state of events. So how do you somehow turn your back? Is it just turning back on the bailus? We'll get to that in a moment. That's certainly the view of Rabbeinu Tam, a little bit of the Ran. That makes sense. We'll get to that. That's why I said a couple of minutes ago that it's very mysterious and very exotic and that it reflects significant things about Chametz. And I said, except maybe according to the Balei Tosis, right? As I will see in a moment, Rabbeinu Tam, Balei Tosis are of the opinion that Bittul is Hefker. Okay, it's understandable somewhat. It's not so simple either, that Hefker is something that depends on your attitude. You can relinquish your ownership. But if the issue is not one of Kinyanim, of ownership, then how does this thought or articulation work? This kind of intellectual renunciation. Let's go a step further. In the Nusach of the Gaonim already, and certainly later Rishonim, some accentuate it more than others, it's very prominent to also, in this intellectual renunciation, equate Chametz with afar, or with afer, with dust and ashes, right? Livatel v'leheve, right? Ke'afra da'ara. Not all the Girsos have it, but already some of the Gaonim do. Like, what is that and what does it mean? If I say something is dirt and dust and ashes, therefore it is? The Sefer HaMichtam, one of the Chachmei Provence, quotes a shita. Now, this is very extreme, and I want to be very clear. We do not paskin like this, but it's, I guess you could say humorously, food for thought. The Sefer HaMichtam actually has the suggestion that when you do bittul, you turn the chametz into afar, and then he says, and there is a shita that says you can then eat it. That's what I meant by the food for thought. And of course, the Michtam himself says that, you know, is not a credible view. But the Maram, but it's a remarkable view, something to quote. I mean, he's not quoting some He's quoting somebody who he vehemently disagrees with. He's not quoting somebody who isn't somewhat of an authority figure. Maram Chalava, one of the Chachmei Provence, says the shita, the idea that you'd be able to eat chametz after bittul, is totally wrong. But not so totally as you might think. He says the reason that it's wrong is because of the principle, he doesn't quote this principle, but that's how he describes it, of what we call achshavei. Achshavei is a halachic notion which says that even something that doesn't have stature, if you treat it respectfully, if you treat it as if it does have stature, right, then you rehabilitate it if that's the only problem. So what the Maram Chalava and all intents and purposes is saying, a very remarkable thing. Again, there's one shita that says, after bittul, if you eat the chametz, you're not chayv karis. That's off the charts. That's shocking. Maram Chalava basically says it's wrong, but it's only wrong because of achshavei. Because the second that you eat it, you're not treating it like afar anymore. So there's a catch 22. Lu yitzuyar, it was, you know, you looked at it as afar, and you ate it, and you weren't trying to be machshavit. In principle, how does intellectual renunciation comparable to afar, and even more so, how could there be any semblance of logic to think that, at least personally, that changes the status of the chametz? So if you want evidence that bittul is, I wouldn't say magical, but let's say puzzling, enigmatic, mysterious, those are great examples, even though they aren't the mainstream shitas. There are other Chachmei Provence who are more moderate. They don't go that far. They don't say, it's not afar. And there's no havamina, you know, that you could eat it. By the way, the Maram Chalava thinks you could be nene from it, possibly, because he thinks achshavei doesn't work on the level of hana. Remarkable. But there are others, like Rabbi Yonasan HaKohen Milonil, who suggest that what it means when you say that the chametz is ka'afra da'ara is it loses its shame lechem. Lechem, it's an interesting argument. Again, it's a minority view. Lechem implies not just objective, you know, ingredients, chamesh saminim, you know, with the right surah. Maybe because of the role that lechem plays in the world of challah, birchas hamazon, seuda, hamotzi, etc., right? It, the embodiment of the seuda and so on transcends, in other words, what it is that you're actually eating. So maybe the idea of lechem is to project kind of that role, right? That this embodies and is the framework, you know, of the meal. And therefore, Rimal O'Neill probably understands that if you pronounce sincerely, you say, I want nothing to do with chametz, and I renounce this, you know, matzah. I'm sorry, this chametz that's standing in front of me. So maybe at least what it does is it undercuts the shame lachem. It doesn't undercut the fact that it's chametz aminim, but maybe in order to be chametz, it needs to be pas or lechem. Very interesting idea. The Rabag in Parshas Bo says that, you know, just like in the world of Tumas Ochlim, the subjective component of how you perceive it, how the owner perceives it, plays a role. Maybe here too, except this isn't the world of Tumas Ochlim. So how is it, whether it's the Michtam, the Yesh Omrim in the Michtam, and the Maram Chalava, whether it is the Rimal O'Neil or the Ralbag, or just the Nusach of Gaonim and those who take it seriously, Hareyu Ka'afardar, how does renouncing it, right, and proclaiming it as Afar, how is that a Chalo? How does that do anything? That's the question. What is going on in the world of Bittel? Oh. So, in order to explain this, I thought we would just go through some of the basic shittos. We'll see what each of the shittos says about this and what the implications are. And along the way, it will also hopefully clarify some other issues that are important to Chagamatzos and to Chametz. And for those who have been here on, you know, every Monday night, you know, it'll also enrich, hopefully, their understanding of the parak that we're in the middle of. We'll try to do both at the same time without assuming, you know, that people have been here. Okay, so let's begin. The first shita we'll start with is Rashi. Rashi says here that what is bittul bialma? This is on Dalet Amud Beis. Rashi says, "Bittul bialma d'chsiv tashbisu, v'lo k'siv tivaru." So Rashi already makes a very interesting ha'ara. The Torah says, "Ach biyom arishon tashbisu seor bimatecha." The mitzvah to get rid of chametz, to eradicate it from your possession, is based on the pasuk, on the mitzvah of tashbisu. But the truth is, let's take a step back again, that this mitzvah of tashbisu, this term tashbisu, is also shrouded somewhat in obscurity. What does it mean, lahashbis es hachametz? And that could be part of the problem. So Rashi, actually following Unklus says, tashbisu means tevatlon. Tashbisu means bittul. And Rashi understands that as well. Dichsiv, bebittul bialma, dichsiv, tashbisu. Beloksiv, tevaru. Bihashbasa delev, hi hashbasa. Rashi says it's very curious that the Torah doesn't use the word tevaru for biur chametz, for physically destroying it or getting rid of it. Instead, it uses this very, again, enigmatic phrase, tashbisu. And the reason for that is because it wants to signify hashbasa, which is belave, meaning a mental, an attitudinal, an approach which works. That's what tashbisu, that's what tevatlun means. What's not clear in Rashi, and this is where the Ramban and the Ran speak for Rashi, and they suggest a position. Does Rashi mean to say that the word tashbisu, as, again, obscure as it is, only means tevatlun, bittul, in which case, and it's only belev, what's the source for bir chametz? Right, we're all familiar. There's a famous argument between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda said, "Ein bir chametz ala b'sreifa." The proper way to do bir chametz is to burn it. That's where we have our practice of burning chametz. The Baalei Tosfos actually paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. The proper way of bir is sreifa. Chachamim say, "Hashpasasa b'chol davar." You can get rid of chametz any way you want. You can throw it into the river. You can chop it up. You can do many, many different ways to physically eradicate it, either destroy it or eradicate it from your rishus or some combination of both, etc. According to Rashi, the tashbisu means tevatlun, means this enigmatic bittul. What's the source for bir chametz? So the Ramban, we'll see it later hopefully, and the Ramban here on Dalet Amud Beis, the Ran in the very beginning of the Masechta, suggest for Rashi that Rashi meant to say that the Torah didn't say tevaru, which would have been a much more obvious choice of verbs. It said tashbisu, not to exclude tevaru, but to select a term that signifies both. Because it's pretty clear from the Gemara, which we'll get to in a couple of minutes, on Hey, Omid Aleph, the Gemara seems to say explicitly that Ach B'Yom HaRishon Tashbisu, at least according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Akiva, refers to Sreifa. So Rashi holds that one term, one word, Tashbisu, means both. It means burning the chametz, and it also means Makshava Belev of Bitol Chametz. Except that raises two questions. Number one, how do both of these things fit in one word? They're so different from each other. Right? Number two, or are they? And number two, is there some sort of a hierarchy? It's hard to know. Is it better to do Sreifa or to do Bitol? Our practice is to do both. We do Bitol after Bedika. We do Bitol after Sreifa. But according to Rashi, that's an interesting question. The Mefarshim debate within the view of Rashi, right, whether Biur and Bitol are equal, choose whichever you want, or there's a preference for Biur. We'll see. If we didn't get a chance, I'll say it now. The Ramban thinks that Biur is preferable to Bitol. He learns the Pasuk like Rashi, but he says Biur is better. Now, Biur being better makes a lot of sense. I mean, if you want to emphatically, you know, negate the chametz, you know, burning it to a crisp seems to be far more, well, it's more objective for sure. It's more final. No one can ask, you know, what about eating it afterwards, right? And it seems more emphatic than intellectual renunciation. So the view of the Ramban and the Ran that beer is preferable certainly makes sense. The view that they're equal, Maram Chalava, Rabbi David, Ritva, people like that. But if, well, I'm going to try to show a little later on, this will foreshadow it, that the Rambam also holds in the direction of Rashi. The Rambam says explicitly that Tashbisu, the word Tashbisu means Bittel. And yet, it seems to me clear that the Rambam prefers Bittel to Biur. In fact, the Rambam practically ignores Biur Chametz. He also paskins like the Chachamim, Hash Pesasa B'chol Davar, might explain why he practically ignores it. But the Rambam deals with the din of Tashbisu, of Bitol, in Perek Beis, Hilchos Chametz Matzah. I'll just read it to you now, very quickly. And it sounds an awful lot like Rashi, except I think it's even goes further than Rashi, as I'm trying to say. Rambam says in Perek Beis, Hilchos Chametz Halacha Aleph, the Perek starts with the discussion of Tashbisu. So the Rambam says, okay, Mitzvah Saseh Min HaTorah LaHashbitz HaChametz. It's a positive commandment in the Torah to get rid of the Chametz. Kodem Zman Yisra Achilasa. We'll get to that. Before the Zman HaYisr. Shenemar B'yom HaRishon Tashbisu Se'or Mi Batecha. Umi Pia Shmu Alamdu Zuyom Yodalid, etc. Halacha Beis. Mai Hashbasa Amur Batora. What is Hashbasa? Sheivatel HaChametz Belibo. You negate the Chametz in your heart. The Yachshav also Ka'afar. The Rambam is a triple formulation. The Yachshav, again, Yivatel HaChametz Belibo. Yachshav also ka'afar, relate to it as if it's dust of the ground. B'yasim b'libo, she'im b'rshus ha'chametz klal. And when you look at it, you should be looking at it and saying, I don't have any chametz in my rishus at all. Very strange, right? Bitul b'leiv, the projection that it's afar, the projection that there's no chametz in your rishus. B'shekol chametz she'b'rshus ha'reyu ka'afar, u'kadavar she'im b'tzar klal. Very verbose Rambam. Almost as if he's trying too hard. But not. I mean, he's trying to accentuate that the renunciation is everything. What's missing in the Rambam, the next halakha of the Rambam is Midivrei Sof from the Chapes Achar Chama. It's something that in our Monday night shiur for the regulars we'll be familiar with. Bedikas Chametz, he has a very unusual view of Bedikas Chametz from the beginning of the Zman, and so on. What's missing? Bir Chametz. The Rambam deals with Bir Chametz in the end of the third chapter, Paragimel, Halacha, Yud Aleph. Very remarkable. And this is not, people don't look at the location so much. Ketzad Bir Chametz. What's Bihadis Bir Chametz? Because the Rambam talks about, you know, if you find Chametz on Yom Tov, what are you going to do with it? You have to eventually destroy it. Ketzad Bir Chametz, Sorfo, burn it, Oporer, Nezor LeRuach, or you chop it up, Ozor Kaliyam, or you throw it in the river, Vimay Chametz Koshe, Vena Yomachatcho, Harizim Befaro, you shred it, and then you throw it into the river, and so on and so forth. There's a last halacha in Perek Gimel. And to Perek Dalet, the Rambam deals with Bal Yerabai Yimatze. He basically consigns Bir Chametz, you know, to, you know, I wouldn't say oblivion, but to the fringes, right, of Dinei Tashbisu. So it's clear, just to sum up again, Rashi says that Tashbisu is Bittol. We don't know what he says about beer. The Ramban, the Ran, and others for Rashi say that what Rashi meant to say was the Torah didn't choose the verb biur, it chose the verb tashbisu, not to exclude biur, but to include both biur and bittul. Then the question is, are they equal? Which is better? The Ramban says, as I said, biur is better. The Rambam clearly holds that tashbisu doesn't include biur at all. It only includes bittul. Where he knows beer from, I'm not sure. And basically, it's as I say, it's a secondary halacha. The very, very end, the last halacha of Inyanei Tashbis. The question is why?
Harav, yeah. The fact that Kol HaNisrafim Afram Mutar, could that have any relationship to why Bittul would be better than beer? Because with beer, there's still a relationship to the ashes. You still can own the ashes.
Well, I think the idea behind, that's an interesting question. The idea of Kol HaNisrafin Afram Mutar, which is a Sug Mishnah in Temura, is because of the principle of Nasis Mitzvaso. So we say, since it's Nasis Mitzvaso, you know, the Isser is Paka Lagamri.
Right.
So if that's true, then what you're saying isn't really correct, meaning it's not that, well, it's still around and you can use it. So it's a bit of an affront. So we'd prefer, you know, a different approach. Right. But you know what? I think it is going to be relevant to something. It is going to be relevant because we'll speak about Reb Chaim a little bit in a couple of minutes. It's an interesting idea.
Thank you.
Okay. So the first view then is Rashi.
Isn't it obvious that Hashkasa refers to Chomet She'eni Yodua? Is it more universal than beer? You can only be mabayer something that you have in your hand.
But you can
be something that you don't have.
Right.
So the preference is to be mabato all the chomets in your rishus, but if you happen to find a piece of chomets, then you can't be mabayer something that you don't have. So biur is after the fact, after you...
Right, so there is a girsuk issue in the Rambam. I don't want to get too stuck on this right now, but the Kesef Mishnah's girsa in the Rambam reads as follows, and according to the Kesef Mishnah, you're totally right, that the consensus seems to be that that's not the correct girsa in the Rambam. Let me explain. There's a very big debate among the Rishonim whether bittul works on Chametz Yadua. Is what you're referring to. If you have chametz and you're aware that you have chametz, will the bittul work, or bittul only works if you don't? You're saying, I can't find any more chametz. You know, if there's any chametz here that I don't know about, it's invisible or whatever, then I do bittul. That's the view of some of the Chachmei Provence. Most of the Chachmei Sfarad, Ramban and so on, disagree. The Bali Tosis disagree. The question is, what is the Rambam's view? So the most manuscripts think that the Rambam doesn't hold this way either. But the Kesef Mishnah does have the following girsa. Umayash basa zu amura batorah. What is Tashbisa that the Torah speaks about? Hushiyasir achametz hayadua lo mirshuso. Right? He removes the chametz that is known to him. Mirshuso. That's bir chametz. Hashbasasa b'chol davar. V'she'eni yadua. And what he doesn't know about, what he's unaware of, yivatlo belibo the yasimoso ka'afar. He does bitl. So according to the zu nischa, zu anuscha, shebesifra abenu shebiyadenu. That's what the Kesef Mishnah says. According to the Kesef, and this is a Chachmei Provence girsa in the Rambam. And it's consistent with the Chachmei Provence shita, which distinguishes between chametz yadua and chametz she'en yadua when it comes to bitul chametz. So according to that girsa, what you just said is totally right. And that is, although it's, you know, basically the first thing the Rambam says is that tashbisu, when there's a be'en, is bebir. And then, if you don't find anything, then you do bitl. The problem is, what's Perek Gimel Halacha Yud Aleph then? Number one. And number two, the manuscript evidence seems to point to the fact that it's not the correct girsa. The correct girsa is the one that I read. Maya shbasa zu amura batorah, hishi vata lachametz belibo, all we have is a reference to bitl. And the only reference to bior is in the end of Perek Gimel. So if that's the case, and bitl does work on chametz yadua, which is the view of many Rishonim, then that remains, what I said before remains true. Okay, let's continue. The Baalei Tosfos disagree with Rashi. In their opinion, they go exactly the opposite direction. Again, with Rashi, we're very intrigued. With the Rambam, a little bit even more. Because what emerges, what I said before, that an attitude, a makshava, is good enough to neutralize the severe Yisurim of Bayi Rabbi Matzai. Tosfos doesn't like it at all. And instead, Tosfos turned Bittul into a very pragmatic halacha. You'll see in a moment. Number one, it's not Tashbisu. It's not the mitzvah. If you do Bittul, that's not mitzvah Tashbisu. Mitzvah Tashbisu for Tosfos is Bir Chametz. And the Baalei Tosfos actually paskin that ain Bir Chametz ala b'sreifa like Rabbi Yehuda. Tosfos mentions this all over Psachim. That's what Tashbisu is. Tashbisu is Bir. But Tosfos disagrees with Rashi for more fundamental reasons too. Let's look at it. Midoraisa bebitul b'almasagi. Tosfos says, Pirush b'kuntres, quotes Rashi. Midichsiv tashbisu, v'loksiv tivaru. Alma hashbasa b'levi. That's a quote of Rashi. Says Tosfos v'kashalari. Dehai hashbasa havarehi v'lo bitul. The Gemara and daf hei amud aleph says explicitly. The Gemara there wants to prove the following. And we'll get back to this. You know, I may well just read it for 1 second. Look at the Gemara in Hayom and Aleph for a minute. The Gemara is interested in the following. The Pasuk says, Ach, b'yom arishon, tashbisu sa'or mi batecha. The mitzvah of tashbisu is b'yom arishon. What does b'yom arishon mean? So the Gemara says here on the bottom of Dalet Amud Beis, what is Bayom HaRishon? Does Bayom HaRishon mean what it usually means, which is Yontif, first day of Yontif? Or does Bayom HaRishon mean Erev Yom Tov? Right? So, at one point, the Gemara wants to suggest the following proof. Look at the bottom of Hei Amud Aleph. The Gemara says the following. Tanya Namahachi, Ach B'yom HaRishon, this is 3, 6, 9 lines up from the bottom of the page. Tanya Namahachi, Ach B'yom HaRishon Tashbisu Sa'or Mi Batechem. Pasuk says, B'yom HaRishon. Question is, Me'erev Yom Tov, O Eina Ela B'yom Tov Atzmo. Is this referring to Erev Yom Tov or to the first day of Yom Tov? Talmud Lomar Lo Tishkal Lachametz Dav Zivchi Lo Tishkal Lachametz Atzmetz HaPesach Vadayin Lachametz Kaim Div Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel tries to learn it from Shechitas HaPesach. Another story. Rabbi Akiva Omer Eino Tzorech Harei Omer Ach B'Yom HaRishon Tashbisu Tzorami Batechem. It says Tashbisu Uksiv Kol Malacha Lo Sasu Umatzino Lahavar Shiyav Malacha. Right? You're not allowed to do Sreifa on Yom Tov. Right? And if you're not allowed to do Sreifa on Yom Tov, and you're supposed to do Sreifa for Tashbisu, then obviously the word Yom Rishon cannot be Yom Tov. If Yom Rishon meant Yom Tov, the Torah would be asking you to be Mechal Yom Tov. Okay. Then the Gemara goes on to say, Rabbi Yossi Omer in a tzarech, Rabbi Omer Ach B'Yom Rishon Tashbisu, Tzorami Batecha Me'erev Yom Tov Oinel B'Yom Tov. Talmud Omer Achilek. Mi B'Yom Tov Atzmo Mishari Ha'iskish Hashbasa Sar L'Achilas Chametz Achilas Chametz Achilas Matzah. Omer Rav Shma Mina Mid Rabbi Kiva Tlas Shma Mina In Bir Chametz El Esreifa Shma Mina Havar L'Chalek Yosas Shma Mina Lo Minin Mitoch. Okay. What do you see from that Gemara clearly? That Bior is considered to be the proper interpretation of Tashbisu. Oh, what will Rashi answer to that? That's a really good question. I'm going to take Tosis's questions, and briefly I'm going to tell you what you might say, because this really opens up many things. Right? It's a good question. Number one, Tosis assumes that if Rashi holds that Tashbisu means Bittul, that he holds it only means Bittul. Not that it means Bittul and Biur. That's what the Ramban thinks is wrong. The Ramban says Tashbisu means for Rashi both things. Means bitul belev, or sreifa. Not only that, says Ramban, we'll see in a moment. Maybe each of these works in a different way, but we'll see that in a moment. Moreover, I'll say something. There could be another answer. And that is, when the Gemara says that Tashbisu means tivaru, it's according to Rabbi Yehuda. What does Rabbi Yehuda hold? Ein bir chametz ela b'sreifa. It's possible that Rashi thinks that how you interpret Tashbisu, Gufa, depends on whether or not you think B or chametz is b'sreifa or hashbasasa b'kol davar. Meaning, there's this famous argument, what is Tashbisu? Tosis paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, Sreifa. The Rambam paskins, Hashbasasa b'chol davar. You can get rid of it anyway. Rashi also seems to paskin, Hashbasasa b'chol davar. Question is, what is the relationship between that argument and the nature of the mitzvah Tashbisu? So, it's conceivable, one way to look at things, and the Ran says this in the beginning of the Masechta, is, you know, midu Rabbi Yehuda nishma l'Rabbanan, midu Rabbanan nishma l'Rabbi Yehuda, meaning, Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda argue about bir chametz, about the details. One says you burn it, the other says you can pulverize it and throw it in the river. Those are details. Whatever you say for Rabbi Yehuda, you say for the Chachamim. Whatever you say for the Chachamim, you'll say for Rabbi Yehuda. They have a different methodology of Bior. But that doesn't affect anything more, does it? Ah. The Midrash Chinuch, however, suggests that maybe it does. Midrash Chinuch asks the following question. Are you obligated to, let's say you have no chametz in your home. You did such a good job. Are you obligated to go out buy chametz in order to burn it? Or in order to throw it in the river so you can fulfill the mitzvah of tashbisu? Is tashbisu a kum va'ase? You have to take initiative? Or is tashbisu an iser ase? And a shev al tas? Maybe make sure there's no chametz in your home. Do you have to acquire chametz in order to destroy it? So the Minchas Chinuch says, you know what? Maybe it depends on Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim. Because Rabbi Yehuda's perspective on bir chametz is that it be an emphatic, you know, physical act of destruction. Very specific. If the point for Rabbi Yehuda was to get rid of, even to physically destroy or get rid of it, would we really care in the end of the day how you get rid of it? As long as it's not there, and as long as you destroyed it, the effect should be more important than the action. And that's true for the Chachamim. But if you require Sreifa, it sounds like what you're saying is that the symbolic act of destroying chametz itself is important. Says the Minchas Chinuch, that might require acquiring chametz, a kumvase, in order to burn it. Moreover, says the Minchas Chinuch, and we'll get to this back to this in just a minute, is the mitzvah, oh, we'll get to it in a second. I'll hold off on that. Oh, Reb Chaim says something very similar to the Minchas Chinuch. Reb Chaim was bothered by two problems. This is one of the most famous, maybe the most famous, Reb Chaim in the Chibur. He was bothered by two problems. Number one, Dr. Maybrook alluded to before, the Mishnah says in Tmura that there's a difference between Nisrafim, things that are burned, and Nigbarin, and things that are buried. If you bury an Isra'ana or whatever it is, right, you still can't use it. But if you burn it, that's called Nasis Mitzvaso. You fulfill the mitzvah, and going forward, you could even use it. You could use the ashes. The Mishnah gives us an example, chametz according to Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Kiveger asks a very famous question. Rabbi Kiveger says, listen, the Mishnah in Tmura counts Rabbi Yehuda's sreifa of chametz for Nasis Mitzvaso. But the Chachamim think it's a mitzvah too. It's a mitzvah to throw it into the river or to pulverize it. So why don't we still say Nasis Mitzvaso? Why is Nasis Mitzvaso only Sreifa for Rabbi Yehuda and not also Kol Davar L'Chachamim? You could just interchange them. They both agree that we are fulfilling the mitzvah of Tashbisu. That's Rabbi Kimegu's question. Says Rabbi Chaim, there's a fundamental qualitative difference between Rabbi Yehuda's approach to Bir Chametz and the Chachamim's. Rabbi Yehuda thinks, and this is even a step further than the Minchas Chinuch, that the way to accomplish Bir Chametz is from within. It's to transform the Chafetzah. Sreifas Chametz is a kiyum in the Chametz itself. And therefore, once you have redefined, or you've put your imprimatur, you've essentially made the biur in here in the chametz itself, then it's mutter, it's nasis mitzvasa. But for the chachamim, who say ashmasasa b'chol davar, for them, it's important to get rid of the chametz and to destroy it, but it's not a kiyum, it's not a mitzvah that transforms or that takes place inside the chametz itself. That's how Reb Chaim explained a second problem. The Gemara, it depends on the girsa, not so simple, but the Gemara later on Tzadi Hei Omed Aleph, in Psachim, says you don't get malchus for Bayi Rabbi Matze. Why? Because it's a lava nita klase. That's the girsa that Bali Tosas had, and that was printed in many Gemaras. Meaning, the Torah says Tashbisu. You could always do Tashbisu, and therefore it's Lava Nita Klase. And therefore there's no Malkus. However, it's very mysterious that the Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchos Chametz, Perek Aleph, Halacha Gimel, says the reason you don't get Malkus for Bal Yiroeh is for a whole different reason. Because Halav She'im B'maisa. Because you're just letting the Chametz stay in your Rishus, passively. Not getting rid of it isn't an action. And therefore, there's no Malkus. He goes on to say that if you acquire the Chametz or you make the Chametz on Pesach, that would be considered a Maisa, and then you would be Chayav. That's a very controversial in its own right. So Rabbi Chaim, who accepted the gear, that this probably was the Girsa, although Rabbi Chananel doesn't have it, maybe the Rambam didn't have it, but he accepts it. He says, how come the Rambam's against the Gemara? Gemara says, no Malkus for Bal Yiroeh because of Lav Anita Kleasei. The Rambam comes up with Lav Shein B'mai. Why didn't he just stick with the Gemara? Says Rabbi Chaim, because the Gemara on Tzadi Hei, which characterizes Bal Yiroeh as Lav Anita Kleasei, which says that Tashbisu is Menatek the Lav, that Gemara is Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. That Gemara is according to the Mandamar that what? Ein Bir Chametz Ela B'Sreifa. That's Nita Klase, because it transforms the Cheftza for the same reason that it's Nasis Mitzvaso. But the Rambam doesn't Paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. The Rambam Paskin's like the Chachamim in Perek Gimel Halacha Yud Aleph. Hashmasasa B'chol Davar. So according to him, there's no Nita Klase. Tashbisu is just make sure it isn't around. Not matakin anything. Very parallel to the Minchas Chinuch. So why am I telling you this? It could very well be that if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, so then Tashbisu means Tevaru. Because Bir Chametz B'Sreifa is a mitzvah, it's emphatic. And maybe it's all you need to do. But the Chachamim, who think Bir Chametz can be Hashbasasa B'chol Davar, you can't just plug them into Rabbi Yehuda. Oh, they also think that Bir, that Tashbisu means Bir. Maybe not. Maybe just like the Midrash Chinuch thought, there's a difference between whether you have to buy and destroy, or if you don't have, you don't have. And just like Rabbi Chaim thought, there's a difference between Nasis Mitzvaso, between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, and there's a difference between Lav Anita Klase, between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Maybe two. Only according to Rabbi Yehuda do we think that Tashbisu must mean Sreifa Bir. But according to the Chachamim, where it's more about the pragmatic reality that you just don't have Chametz around, maybe the better interpretation of Tashbisu is Bittel. Maybe that's more emphatic, as we'll discuss, as we'll get to. Let's look at the next Taina of Tosas. Tosas says, this is the first one. Koshalri, Hayash Basavarihi, Vilobitl, the Taina Bishmaitin, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Ein Sarah, Hariyamar Tashbisu, Matsina Lavarishiab Malacha. That's the Gemara that we just read. The Ode, second question. The Tashbisu, I mean, on the Kamon, Meachilek Shu, Mishesho, Solomala, Yacharisur, Lomahani Bitl. Oh, this is very important. Tosa says, when does Tashbisu take place? Before or after the Zmana Isar? Meaning, I'm not talking about the Din Drabanan here, on a Daraisa level. Before Chatzos or after Chatzos? Tosa says it takes place after Chatzos. If it takes place after Chatzos, how could it be Bittel? The Gemara says on Zayin Amud Aleph that after Chametz is prohibited from Ana at Chatzos, you can no longer do Bittel because you're not the owner. When you lose ownership, you lose the koach habitul. So if we assume that tashbisu is la'achar zmana isur, the cutoff is daraisa at midday, right? Midday noon, in other words, on Yom Yadalet. If the mitzvah is afterwards, it can't be bittul. It can only be beer. Elsewhere, Rabbeinu Tam adds another point. Rabbeinu Tam says, you know, I'll go one by one. It'll be easier. Okay, what's the answer to this taina against Rashi? It's a tremendous question. Right? Except that it's based on an unproven, or is it, assumption. What's the unproven assumption? How does Tosus know for certain that Tashbisu is la'achar zman isuro? Maybe it's kodesh zman isuro. Ah, that's what the Ramban says. If you look in the sheets, those of you who have the sheets, there's this massive Ramban. We're not going to be able to do all of it today because I'm just going to pick and choose. Again, it's a different, this is a standalone chair. But look on the paragraph beginning. Umashi hikshu rabotzenu hatzarfatim. For me, it's on page 5, but for you, it's probably on page 6. It's a very small paragraph. Everybody have it? If not, I'll just read it. Umashi hikshu rabotzenu hatzarfatim.
Line 29.
Line 29 on page 6?
Yeah. Page 5.
Oh, wow. Okay, page 5, line 29. Ma'ashe yikshu rabotzenu hatzarfatim, minadar shinu nachilik b'tashbisu, eino kusha. Meaning, bitzel cannot be after zman ha'iser. D'chi yomer snami taviru, right? Hecha tziva levar racha chatzos. The Ramban says, I don't understand the question. Let's say the Torah didn't say tashbisu. Let's say it said Tivaru. How can you burn the, how can you destroy it after Chatzos? Halo b'shas biru, kvar avar alav. Then you'll be in the middle of Balyura already, or Isar Shehiya. There's a timing problem. If you do it too early, it's too early. If you do it at this mana Isar, then for the time that it takes you to burn it, aren't you going to violate Balyura? Elishi hey mevuar o mevutal b'chatzos kamarachmana. Okay, wow. This is such a fascinating argument. The Ramban says, when do you want him to do bir? Who told Balei Tosus that it's a davar pashut? Right, that tashbisu is la'achar zman ha'iser. Even if it was, and therefore it can't be bittel. Even if it's beer, it's not la'achar zman ha'iser. Because that's already, it's already osur by then. It takes 10 minutes, it takes 20 minutes. What about those 10 or 20 minutes? What's the answer? If you look at Tosus later on Chaf Kesamid Beis, just for a second, everybody's consistent. Here. I'm sorry, Chaf Kesamid Beis, on the very bottom of the page, Tosa says, Mikan mochiach ri, look at the four lines at the bottom, four bottom lines of Tosas on Chav Tes Amud Beis. Mikan mochiach ri, shamasha chometz of Pesach, v'data levaro, eino over ba'oso shihia. D'yom resover akati amai, mo'ol rab yosi. Skipping to the last line. Elevadei lo avar, tamam mishum delo yira, and nita klasei. The kachena over. It's a triple lishitasa. Tosa says, as long as you're working on tashbisu, you're not going to violate bayirah. It's nita klase. It's lachar zmani suro. And for those 20 minutes or half an hour or 10 minutes, whatever it is, you're not violating bayirah because you're doing the beer. Ramban says, no. You can't do the biur if it's already the Zman HaYisur. You have to do it in advance. So what's a pshat according to the Ramban? What does it mean that you're doing bitul or biur? The answer is you're going to make sure that by the time the clock strikes achilek or 12 o'clock, noon, that everything is done. You're going to do either your biur or your bitul in advance and make sure it's done. Except there's one huge problem with the Ramban. And that is the Gemara on Daf Hei Amud Aleph. Because what's the Gemara that we read before on Hei Amud Aleph? Gemara says like this, one more time. The Gemara is not sure, does the word Biyom HaRishon mean Erev Yontif or Yontif? The Gemara says it cannot be Yontif, because if it was Yontif, you'd be telling us to burn chametz on Yontif. And that would be a chil Yontif. Therefore, it must be Erev Yontif. According to the Ramban, and let's say Rashi, and we'll see in the moment, the Rambam, even more than the others, when the Rambam formulates the mitzvah of Tashbisu, the first thing he says is that it's Kodem Zman Yisuru. 100% against Tosas. Listen to the language. Mitzvah Saseh Min HaTorah, Lahashbitz HaChametz, Kodem Zman Yisur Achilasa. You know, with Rashi doesn't say, but it has to be because process of elimination, because he's focusing on Bittel. Tosas says out of outrage, what are you talking about? Right? The Rambam puts it up and projects it as part of the definition of Tashbis. But for Rashi, the Ramban, and the Rambam, we have a terrible dilemma. How could you say this? It's against the Gemara. The Gemara says that if the word Yom Rishon meant Yom Tov, you'd be telling us to be Mechal Yontif. Why are you being Mechal Yontif? You're supposed to do the beer Likrat, Kodem, so that when Yom Tov enters, you've burnt it already. What's the difference between burning before Yom Tov, if Yom Tov is this man, or burning before Chatzos, if Chatzos is this man? Right? That's a terrible problem. Some of the Rishonim asked this question. Rabbi Zalman Meltzer, when he put out the Chidusha Ramban, in his footnotes, asked this question. A lot of the Achronim deal with this question. Let me give you two suggested answers. One is, maybe once again, what we were saying before. I'm not sure if this works for the Ramban, but it certainly works for Rashi and the Rambam. And that is, maybe the Bali Tosas, Lishitasam, are looking at the world through the prism of Rabbi Yehuda, Eimber Chametzela B'Sreifa. And for them, Tashbisu is not preparatory. Tashbisu is the act of negation. It's the act symbolically of destruction. And if you do that too early, what are you destroying? However, if you hold Hashbasasa b'chol davar, which is Rashi's view, and which is the Rambam's view, and especially in light of the Midrash Chinuch, Reb Chaim, you can give many other examples. Namely, the idea that the debate between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim is a qualitative debate, not a quantitative one. It's not which is the methodology. Which methodology tells you what is the nature of Tashbisu? It could be that Rashi and the Rambam are of the opinion that if you hold Rabbi Yehuda, Ein Bir Chametz Ela B'Sreifa, it's all about confrontation and destruction. And that's better Bizman HaYisur. In fact, Rabbeinu Tam, this might be a different issue too, but in Sefer Yashar, when Rabbeinu Tam records his view, he says two more things. Number one, Rabbi Yehuda's din of Ein Bir Chametz Ela B'Sreifa is derived in the Gemara in the second parak from Nosar. What is Nosar? La'achar Zman Yisuro. It's always La'achar Zman Yisuro. Meaning Yav Kadshim, it's Mutar Bachila, and then it becomes Nosar, and it's also Bachila. If Sreifas Chametz is learned from Sreifas Nosar, the Sreifas La'achar Zman Yisuro. He says, so that proves that Sreifa of Chametz is L'achar Zman Yisuro too? Yeah, if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda. Not if you hold like L'chachamim. Then this whole issue doesn't come about. I have another answer for the Ramban, L'shitasa, if I get to it. Let's go a step further. And it's also connected to another Ramban. But Rabbeinu Tam says, moreover, in Sefer Yashar, moreover, chametz doesn't really become chametz, says Tosis, until after Zman Yisuro. When does chametz become chametz shel iser? Only when you're not allowed to eat it anymore. So when you're burning chametz, chalos chametz, it can only be lachar Zman Yisuro. Right? That's Rabbeinu Tam's idea. However, that's true, again, if the Sreifa is Sreifa's Chametz. But if you're dealing with Hashmasasa B'chol Davar, to make sure that when the clock ticks, there won't be any Chametz, it's more of a preventative, right, than a, you know, confrontational, you know, act of destroying the chametz, then that isn't necessarily true. And let me go a step further. Ooh, it's getting late. For the Ramban and Tosis, maybe Lishitasam. I think it was last week, those who were in this year, but we'll explain what we mean. I think we mentioned, yeah, last year actually, so we got the continuity part in as well. We mentioned that there's a debate between the Ramban and Tosis in general, in Avodah Zarah and Psachim, whether Chametz has a status of Hetera Bala or Isura Bala. What's the argument? The question is, how do you get the absorption of Chametz all year round out of Kelim that you want to use on Pesach? Do you do it by Hagalah, boiling water, or do you do it by Libun, by burning it out? That's the argument. That's the debate. 2 days in the Gemara, the Bali Tosis embraced the view that Chametz is Al Yidei Hagala, because they explain it's Hetera Bala. When it absorbed into the Kli all year round, it's a Dvar Heter. It's not Chametz Shel Iser. It's not the same Chametz. It's Chametz Shel Heter. Therefore, you can get it out with Hagala. What do they compare it to, of all things? Nosar. They say, when the kli was balea, the meat, it wasn't nosar, it was heter. It only becomes nosar later, right? And then it's already in the kli. That's why Tosas here says, I think, Rabbeinu Tam and Sefer Yashar, you have to burn the chametz, la'achar Zman Yisuro. Because otherwise you're burning heter chametz. It's a different chametz. It's a tera bala. The same reason it's a tera bala in the blia, it's a tera before Zman Yisuro. But the Ramban in Avodah Zarah disagrees. Why does he disagree? He says, you can't compare chametz to nosar. In the case of nosar, there was basar mutter, basar kadshim, which is mutter lechol. And then, after a certain amount of time, there was nosar in the kli. It wasn't nivla's nosar. It wasn't nosar shel heter, and then it became nosar shel iser. He says, but chametz is the same chametz. It's always the same chametz. even Bishas Heter, it still has a shem chametz. And therefore you have to treat it, if you want to get rid of it for the sake of chametz on Pesach, as Isura Bala. So the Ramban says, even if you do, he doesn't say this, I'm saying it for him. Even if you, even according to Rabbi Yehuda that you learn from Nosar, you have to burn Lachar Yisur because that's when it's Nosar. There's no Zman Heter for Nosar. By definition, if something's Nosar, it's Osar. Right? But Chametz has a Zman Heter and has a Zman Yisur. You can't compare the two. The same chametz, it's in and out. So you can burn it earlier. If you were to, you can't burn nosar earlier because it's not nosar. But it's the same chametz in and out, according to Ramban Lashitaso. You can burn it earlier. So between the distinction between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, and the two perspectives on whether chametz is a terabala or a surabala, we can be miyashev most of the questions. The time is running late, so let me get to one of the main punchlines. Tosus ends up saying, "The Omer read the midaraisa b'bitul b'almasagi mitam demachar shebitul have a hefker." The yotzer mershuso umutar. Tosus says the reason bitul works is because it's hefker, and therefore it's not bal yiroa, not magic, not mysticism, no enigma. It's not Bal Yiroa because it's not in your Bailos. It's not Tashbisu even. Tashbisu is Biur. Bittul is Hefker. However, the Ramban strongly disagrees. I'm not going to read it inside because it's too late already. I'll give you a couple of highlights and a couple of lines I'll read. The Ramban says he doesn't like Tosis. Why? How come in Kol Torah Kula we call Hefker Hefker and all of a sudden we're calling it Bittul? Why the difference in terminology? Number two, since when do we find that Hefker can be Belave? Number three, Hefker requires three. Number four, Rabbi Yossi Aglili thought that Hefker doesn't work until somebody else comes along and acquires it. Is Rabbi Yossi Aglili going to deny Bittul? There's no argument that Bittul works. And so on and so forth. In other words, the rules of Hefker are not compatible with the dinam of Bittul. What then is Bittul? Ramban says a huge chiddush. And I believe that he is totally right, and that's what the Rambam means. Maybe the Rambam means it even more than the Ramban, or equally to the Ramban. And probably this is what Rashi meant. Look here on page 5. Basically, the idea of the Ramban, I'm sorry. Second. See if I can find it here. Is this fall? Let me read the following. Elakach ani omer. Shabitul moil lehotzio mitoras chametz. Bitul works to negate the status of chametz, Torah's chametz, ulachshivo ka'afar, to turn it to the equivalent of dust, she'ena roi lachila. V'hetuzem midiv Rabbi Shmueli. This is a very unbelievable chiddush. What is Rabbi Shmuel? Rabbi Shmuel said that the whole din of Bal Yiroa Bayimatze is hanging by a thread. Al pidin, it shouldn't be asur. There are two things that are not in man's domain, meaning he doesn't really own them. And the Torah nonetheless holds you responsible. Bor b'shus harabim, you don't own the boar, but if you dug it, you're responsible for the damage. And the other one is chametz pesach. Meaning, it's already aser b'hano, why are you violating bal yiroa? Nonetheless. You could have thought that that was just a big chumrah of the Torah, that legabe the Isra'na of chametz or legabe chametz were machmir, we consider it to be yours. That's not how the Ramban understood it. Ramban understood that the yisod of Bayurah Bayimata, the reason that it applies, even though objectively it shouldn't, is because Bayurah Bayimata itself is attitudinal. It's a perspective. It implies rotza b'kiyumo. If you want it, if you are interested in Chametz Pesach and you're not repulsed by it, you don't find it repugnant, right? I don't mean physically. I mean spiritually, given the framework, then you violate Bayurah Bayimata, even though you don't really own the Chametz. The Ramban came up with a new idea. First of all, he broadened Rabbi Shmuel. Based on Rabbi Shmuel, came up with a new concept. Rotza b'kiyumo ve'ena rotza b'kiyumo. Are you interested in this Chametz or not? Or have you rejected it? And he explains, he says, you're mevatam b'toras Chametz, you're lo karinan lecha, kivin shu also ena rotza b'kiyumo, you look at it as if it's afar. Of course you didn't turn it into afar. The Ramban would never say you could eat it. Not what he's talking about. Ba'irah. The Ramban says if attitudinally you are repulsed and you recoil from it, then you don't violate Ba'irah Ba'imatzai. Ba'irah is an attitudinal iser, and bittul is an intellectual, emotional renunciation, which is the perfect way to negate the chametz. That's what the Rambam says. The idea behind chametz, according to the Rambam, is dafka kodem zman isuro. You have to make sure when you're preparing for Pesach that before you reach the moment of transition, katzos, kodem zman isuro achilaso, says the Rambam, that you relate to the chametz as if it has no economic value, as if it's afar, as if it isn't even there. Mayash basa amura batora, shivata lachametz belibo, yachshavosa ka'afar, yasem belibo shem brishusa chametz klal. V'shakol chametz brishusa ka'afar, kedavar shem batora klal. For the Ramban, Ramban says, how can biur, like sreifa, and bitul, believe, how can they share a single pasuk, tashbisu? Ramban says, no problem. One is an intellectual renunciation. The other is a physical renunciation. Which one is superior? Ramban says, I think the me'ula shebishneim is the biur. But the intellectual one is good enough because the whole bayirua is only itself based on attitude. But in my opinion, for the Rambam goes even further. For the Rambam, the intellectual renunciation is the ikar, and maybe the only tashbisu. And again, for the same reason. So this goes back to what we discussed in the beginning of the year. And that is, chametz is a very remarkable phenomenon. It's one of the most chamur isurim. And yet all year round, there's nothing wrong with it. It's the staple of our diet. That's what makes there, is what we're discussing all year, kulas and chumras, bayira and kares, right? And you know, isar mashahu, and isar taroves, can't have any kind of chametz. And at the same time, you get this remarkable kula. All you have to do is have a good attitude of renunciation. Bitul b'lev, and he wrote a bikiyumo. And according to the Chachmei Provence, I look at it like afar, as long as you're not mouthing the words, but you're kind of reaching that state of mind. If that's the case, that's an unbelievable kula. But it's a kula that is totally consistent with what chametz is. There's nothing wrong with chametz per se. What's wrong with chametz goes back to Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that is when you attain liberty after having been deeply enslaved, the tendency is to focus on that physical freedom, on the liberation. And the tendency is to express it by just letting, you know, letting everything else go. Or growth, uncontrolled growth. And Torah's perspective is that that is unacceptable. Halu avdei Hashem v'lo avdei paro. The point isn't just to extricate yourself from Mitzrayim and from paro. It's to embrace a different life vision, one which is difficult, one which requires discipline and a sense of purpose. That's what the Iser Chametz is all about. And therefore, the fact that all year round we celebrate Lechem, and then all of a sudden, as we're commemorating and celebrating Yetzias Mitzrayim, physical liberty, we turn our back on the staple of our diet, because it represents undisciplined growth without shmira, without control and direction. Yeah, because those are the preconditions, those are the sine qua non for a significant spiritual life. And therefore, bittul, the intellectual renunciation of chametz and what it implies, which is that there's nothing wrong with chametz per se in another context, but in context, the attitude that you have towards the principle that underlies chametz, that determines whether we're dealing with physical cheiros or the cheiros that integrates avodah mayino lepara b'mitzrayim and a recognition of mitzchila hayaov de avodah zara. And therefore, bittul plays an outsized role, precisely because it's about makshava and it's subjective and it's attitudinal. So again, just getting back to the Yahrzeit, Rabbi Arvesfeld was again somebody who had the opportunity to mention this in the past, who really understood the idea of discipline, the idea of channeling the gifts of life for a purpose. And that sometimes that requires sacrifice, and it certainly requires consistency, and it certainly requires a sense of clarity of what's important. And that's really the message of Yetzias Mitzrayim and the message of Bittul Chametz. Chametz Bizmano and Chametz Sheinu Bizmano. So I wish everybody a Chag Kasher Sameach.